It's good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in June. It's a special day. We're recognizing our layperson of the year today. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper together as part of the service, and glad that you were able to come today and worship with us. Special welcome to Delphine Haldane, who will be our soloist today, and we're thankful that she's with us. Want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship, not in Judson Chapel today, but in the Main Street entrance, in the spiral staircase entrance. Coffee hour will be set up there. Those who have purchased tickets, there will be a luncheon in honor of our layperson of the year following coffee hour in Judson Chapel. You'll also note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and just, you know, calling your attention to that, wanting to make sure that you realize that next Sunday the American Baptist Women's Ministries will be having a potluck lunch here in their annual meeting. Also, next Sunday is what's known as Children's Day, where the students and our Sunday school classes will be leading us in worship. And I think it'll be a very special day. It is also U.S. Flag Day next Sunday, and you are invited to wear patriotic colored clothing next week. A few weeks ago, you know, I encouraged you to wear red for Pentecost. It was also Memorial Day weekend. Next Sunday is Flag Sunday, Flag Day, and you are invited to wear patriotic colored clothing next week. There are a couple inserts in your bulletin today. The Refugee Immigration Ministry's Refugee Week Walk is taking place on Saturday, June 27th at 10 a.m. In Wakefield. If you're interested in participating, there are walk papers available to get sponsors, and those are available on the stage in Judson Chapel. Also, there's a colored insert in your bulletin for Tools of Hope. If you would like to give a $5 gift in honor or in memory of a loved one for Father's Day, there are these inserts that you may fill out as well, and there will be an honor roll in the Father's Day bulletin as well. Also, I'm not sure if today is the Fire Department's Memorial Day celebration or not, so we may hear a parade, we may hear fire whistles and sirens, so don't be worried, please. We'll just continue in worship. Unless our fire alarm goes off, then we will exit the building, but just that is their usually annual event on this Sunday. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal, selection number 300, for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. I, Paul, say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: idolatry and witchcraft, fits of rage, selfish ambition, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Our opening hymn this morning is Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart, number 298. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on each of us gathered here today. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us today. We ask this in the name and the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray together as he taught, as we say aloud, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned during the announcements this morning, it is a very special day because we are recognizing our Layperson of the Year for 2015. This has become a tradition in our church for many years when you, members of the congregation, nominate someone in the church family that you feel, you know, deserves recognition for that year. And this year's recipient honoree is Rosalind Nowak. I ask Rosalind to come forward at this time. Now, I know, Rosalind, you'd rather be sitting back there cheering somebody else on, very much so. But many people in the church family have recognized many of the things that you do. And you say, well, what have I done? What have I done? Well, you teach Sunday school. You've served on the Board of Christian Education. You've helped us find our current nursery attendant. You also, I know that you sometimes come down and clean a room or two, and you get our Sunday school rooms ready when we move from downstairs to upstairs and vice versa. You also serve as greeter and coffee hour host frequently, bringing good goodies in. Even just last Sunday, you were speaking to someone who was visiting and introduced them to me, so it's like you're behind the scenes a lot, doing a lot of different things. But you're always finding ways to serve our Lord in our congregation. I'd like to read some of the words that people wrote about in nomination of Rosalind. Rosalind is always helping when someone needs help. She never says no to anyone. And you'll hear some echoes of repetition here. Rosalind is always willing to help. She is flexible with scheduling issues. She's dedicated, friendly, loving, and a wonderful person. Now, don't let your head get too big. She is a yes, please, rather than a no, thank you person. Rosalind is a hard worker in the church. She is faithful and a loving person, also a caring family person. She will be a very good layperson of the year. Rosalind is always willing to assist with any project needed to be done. She is always smiling and cheerful, and a real pleasure to be with. Rosalind always makes herself available to help with whatever project needs to be completed. Her smile and friendliness light up any room that she walks into. Despite multiple hardships, she has never lost her faith and willingness to help her church and its members. So just a few words. But people recognize Rosalind, even though you like to do things behind the scenes, which a lot of our laypersons of the year over the years are people that often work behind the scenes, and Rosalind fits that bill as well, that you'd much rather, you know, be sitting in the pew or out back doing something than to be down front here receiving this recognition. But several members of the church have recognized your dedicated service and wanted to recognize you in this way. So we're presenting a certificate to you today that says Layperson of the Year, First Baptist Church of Malden, awarded to Rosalind Nowak for her faithful and dedicated service to our Lord, dated today, and it's signed by both the moderator, Lisa Jacobson, and myself as pastor. So congratulations, Rosalind. Thank you very much for all that you do.
Thank you.
And thanks to Rosalind's dedication, we get to have lunch together in her honor this afternoon after service as well. So thank you, Rosalind, for all of your help. I hope you are able to speak with her after the service and personally thank her for the many ways that she helps in our congregation. At this time, if there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary who would like to come down front for our moments together, I invite you to do that. So you heard some of the things that Mrs. Nowak was nominated, the things that she does. Are those things that you could do? You can smile. You can't smile. You can't smile, James. You can be, saying, yes, I'll help you with that, rather than saying, no, I won't, or not volunteering. So, and that's what we recognize of people that step up. And sometimes we don't even know that they're doing things. In fact, one of the things I forgot to mention that Mrs. Nowak has done for many, many years, and I bet very few people in the church know that, that when we have plants at Easter time and Christmas, we have the poinsettias at Christmas and the pretty flowers at Easter time, that she comes in the day before after the plants have arrived and she arranges them and puts the names on all of the plants. And we think, oh, that's not a big deal. Well, somebody's got to do it. And that's something that Mrs. Nowak fills in those little spots. Somebody has to do it. And that's what our laypersons of the year often do, is they fill in those little cracks when things, have to get done. They do those things. Don't always do them because you're going to get honored. Because as I said, Mrs. Nowak would have much rather been sitting in the pew back there rather than being down front with me today. But we want to recognize her. And that's something as a challenge to each of you, to be looking around the church. Something that you could do. And you can't say, oh, I'm too young. The Bible talks about one of the prophets, Jeremiah. God called him. And Jeremiah said, oh, I'm too young. I couldn't do that. But we have things that each of us, no matter how old we are, how long we've been in the church, how short time we've been in the church, how much we know, how much we don't know, there are always things that we can do. And I know that next Sunday, you're going to be leading the worship service next week, and I'm looking forward to that. I'll be helping you, and Mrs. Smith will be here as well. We'll be helping you. But you'll be leading parts of the worship service next week, and that's part of, being part of the church family. So I'm looking forward to that next Sunday. And let's pray together at this time. Lord, we know that you invite us and challenge us and you call us to be a part of your church family, to be a part of your church, to do different things. Lord, help us to find those things that we can do and help us to step up and say, yes, I'll do that. Lord, we pray that you'll be with the teachers and students today as they go to their classes and as they prepare for next Sunday, that they may have clear minds, that they may prepare well. And Lord, we pray that we may return next Sunday and support them as they lead us in worship. We ask this all in our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may go to your class. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who is at home today. And we want to remember Cindy Huddy. Cindy had surgery on Monday and is doing well. Is she scheduled for rehab yet, Chuck? Not yet, but she will be probably going to rehab to regain some strength, but is doing well. So she's been at the hospital and improves each day, and seems a little stronger each day. Want to keep Cindy in prayer, though. Also, we want to keep our shut-ins, those who are not able to get out for whatever reason, in our prayers today. Also, Paul Patry mentioned to me that he received a phone call this week from Mihei Ko in Korea, and just bringing up to date, and that Yura is entering her fourth year at MIT. And the boys are doing some homeschooling in Korea. So we want to keep the Ko family. It's a name that we've known for a long time, and we get these little reminders here and there and updates on the family. So we want to keep, there goes the fire whistle. So we just want to keep, we want to remember our first responders as well today in prayer. Those who, step up and go into dangerous situations on our behalf and help to protect us. So do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Well, LaFond? We want to keep the LaFon family in prayer. 22-year-old son died unexpectedly last Sunday, so we want to keep them in prayer today. Anyone else have a prayer request? Peggy. Okay, so your sister-in-law and your niece, so we want to keep them in prayer. They have medical issues. Barbara. Flooding and tornadoes, and it went from drought to now, you know, the other way, and we do want to keep those who have been affected by those severe storms in our prayers. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Irene. Okay. Irene's neighbor, Dorothy, has been in the hospital at his home, but is also moving, so, you know, a lot of transitions, but also some ill health, so we want to keep Dorothy in prayer today. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy God, you are also our personal God, and we thank you for that. And as we gather for worship today, we realize that we've entered a new month. It seems like, where have the last 5 months gone? And yet, when we think back to the winter storms that we endured, and the cool spring weather that we've enjoyed and had, Lord, we realize that, yes, time marches on, the calendar pages turn, but yet we know that you are always there for us. You're always with us, and we thank you for that. And as we enter this new month, a month of transitions for many with graduations and new jobs, of physically moving to new homes, Lord, we pray for those who are in transition today and pray that through the changes in their lives, they may find you as a constant in their lives. When they feel that they are in chaos, that they may find serenity through your Spirit. Lord, this day we do lift up those who are in chaos because of storms, that they have lost homes and businesses, that they've seen streets flowing with water. We've seen roofs and walls ripped off structures, high winds. And Lord, we just pray for those who are suffering in those situations today. We pray for those who are responding to them as first responders and also those who will come later to help the rebuilding efforts. Lord, we just thank you that there are those who have that ability and willingness to share in that way, to share their skills and their strength. We pray that they may bring hope to those who have lost hope. Lord, as we think about first responders, we are mindful of our fire department and police department and medical personnel who respond, especially here in Malden, but other communities in which we live that are often respond whenever we pick up the telephone and say we need help. They are there to help us. Lord, we remember those today who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in their service that way. And as we may hear parades going by and we hear fire whistles, we are mindful, Lord, of the men and women who have served their communities and ultimately served us personally in that way. And we thank you for their dedication. Lord, we pray for those who are in mourning today, those who have lost a loved one. Doesn't matter, Lord, whether it was through illness and was an expected death or it was sudden and unexpected, that the pain is still there, Lord. The hurt and the hole in the heart is still present. We pray that your Spirit may come with comfort and peace to those who are hurting today, that they may sense your presence in their lives. We pray for those who are ill today and those who are awaiting surgeries and other treatments and those who are recuperating. And just pray for your Spirit of healing to be in their lives according to your will for each of them as well. And Lord, we thank you now for this time of worship. We lift all of these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this first Sunday of the month, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together, we do receive two different offerings. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that supports the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Let us pray. Lord God, you are our strength and our treasure. As we present these tithes and gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us, that we may share the good news of Jesus' love with others, especially those who have not heard that message before. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture lesson comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. If you would like to read along in the Pew Bible, that's found on page 167 in the back section. Paul writes these words. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what we can, at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. And going on to verse 1 in chapter 5, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May God bless this reading of his holy word, and let us pray together. Lord, as we have read from and heard from the Apostle Paul this morning about exterior life and what goes on inside us, Lord, we pray that these moments together may be an opportunity for us to listen for your voice, to hear a message from you that will help us in our daily living, that we may be more faithful in our following of you. We are seeking that we may find you, and that all may come to benefit us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Over the past generation, we have been inundated with a variety of food products displaying a heart and which proclaims on the labels, they proclaim themselves to be heart healthy or heart smart. And this designation usually means the food is lower in cholesterol or saturated fats, and the substance is suspected of contributing to heart disease. But hearts sell other things as well. For several years, Chevrolet claimed that their vehicles to be the heartbeat of America. And until this year, the state of Ohio attracted tourists by advertising itself as the heart of it all. Bumper stickers declare everything. And I've seen a wide variety, I'm sure you have too, of I, heart, meaning love, my, fill in the blank. Whether it's a pet, a relative, an animate object, a school, a place that, for vacation, you fill it in, I love it. I heart it. So why are we so heart-focused? Heart disease continues to be the great killer among well-fed, stressed-out, exercise-free Americans. But since we now know that we can reduce our vulnerability to heart attack by eating right and exercising, why do so many still live in fear of their hearts? There's a lot more than clogged arteries and leaky valves endangering our hearts. We're suffering from a form of heart sickness that has nothing to do with cholesterol and triglycerides. As the Apostle Paul wrote in the various to the various struggling communities he cared about so deeply, for example, Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, he urged them time and time again not to lose heart. Persecuted by Jews, ridiculed by pagans, often misunderstood by other new believers themselves, Paul refused to lose heart for himself. Indeed, sometimes it seems the worse things got around Paul, the more reasons he found to take heart instead of letting his heart sink. In today's scripture text, Paul admits to having felt afflicted, perplexed, and persecuted and struck down, and yet the apostle's heart remains intact, even exuberant. So what sorts of things cause us to lose heart today? Few of us ever face the kind of pointed persecution that Paul and the first century Christians experienced. Yet our spirits sag and drag about as if our life and faith were oppressive burdens. Fear is one of the biggest causes of the clutching we feel in our chest cavities. Crime seems to be everywhere and all-inclusive. How can we feel safe when we have youth and young adults roaming the streets armed with guns and knives, selling drugs, trafficking human beings, looking for trouble. Fear comes knocking on our hearts when we learn that terrorists who do not respect our way of living and do not even value human life are living among us. Fear can rob us of any sense of security and steadiness in our lives. When our hearts can't even feel safe at home, our spirits get sick. Even all of our high-tech security systems, electronic bugs, and surveillance cameras don't seem to be able to keep it at bay, and we slowly lose heart. Stoking all our real and imagined fears may be a lack of trust. Not only are we afraid of those whom we do not know, but we may also become equally afraid of those we may call our friends. We may feel we cannot really trust anyone. We feel betrayed at times. We assume people only show interest in us because they want something from us. We may think that's a jaded point of view, but so many people feel hurt today by people who they thought they liked and loved, but they have turned against all humanity. It's difficult to share our heart, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, and our love with someone we suspect is keeping a file on us. We cannot give our heart to someone we cannot really trust. We also lose heart because we lack confidence in ourselves, in our abilities, and our worth. We feel so small and insignificant compared to the global problems, the worldwide crises that are beamed into our living rooms and onto our electronic devices every day. Our sense of purpose and desire to do something is stunted with, instead of "I think I can" attitude, with "I think I can't," "I think I can't" thinking. Without confidence, our heart often falls flat. Paul knew the kinds of fears and disappointments, rejections and defeats his early Christian brothers and sisters were facing. He knew from personal experience the kind of heart disease that could develop from a steady diet of persecution, betrayal, and failure. When Paul counsels his fellow Christians in his letters not to lose heart, he does so knowing he has found the perfect protection from heartburn, and that being faith in Jesus Christ. The most common way we lose heart is by fixing our gaze on the externals, the outer nature, as Paul calls it, of our lives. If Paul had trusted in the physical, the temporal, the transitory things in life, he too probably would have lost heart. But instead, this apostle experienced his world on two levels at once, the outer world and the inner world. The outer world was the place of conflict and despair, persecution and pain. Paul's outer nature necessarily had to live there. Suffering and deprivation are real. And like Paul, we do live in the midst of all of that in our lives too. But these are all external to our heart of faith. Paul could take heart, even in clear sight of all the ridicule he had to bear, the prison sentences he had to serve, the beatings he had to endure, the foolish, selfish Christians he had to put up with, because he knew none of these could harm his inner nature. The inner nature in Paul was Jesus Christ himself. Growing in Christ for Paul was a process that continued throughout a Christian's life, a process not complete until the whole inner nature is filled with Christ. Paul could not lose heart because of the center of his being. There was Christ there. No matter what kind of fears assaulted or doubts assailed him in the outer world, Jesus Christ was within Paul, and he was renewed day by day, and his faith grew stronger and stronger. In a sense, Paul considered the nature of the outside world somewhat of a conditioning center, the momentary afflictions building him up in preparation for the eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. We don't lose heart because of the oxymoronic term, weight of glory. The gravity of grace does not flatten us out. It buoys us up. In every instance where the world tells us it's time to give up, to throw in the towel, to forget it, to lose heart, the Spirit of Christ within us takes hold and gives us heart. That reminds me of the lyrics of the song, "You Gotta Have Heart," from the Broadway musical Damn Yankees. And the first verse goes this way: "You've gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start." When thinking about our own lives, do all of our long-range plans seem to be turning into short-term disasters? The Bible tells us that we should take heart, for it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in the ministry that He calls us to. Do things around us seem to be going from bad to worse? Take heart, for our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Do you feel as if you have nothing to show for all your efforts? Take heart, for we will reap at harvest time. Do you feel as if the weight of the world rests on your shoulders? Take heart. Scripture tells us, "And lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary and you may not lose heart." Jesus proclaimed, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." May we take heart. May we follow Jesus. And may we enjoy the abundant life that he offers. Let's pray together. Lord, at times our world seems to be filled with so many negatives, so much pain and sorrow and suffering that we feel almost caught up in that and don't know where to turn. Lord, it's in those moments that we need to feel you and hear you and sense you inside of us, reminding us that you are there, that we need to look inward for strength when all the outward signs are telling us to give up, that you are there to give us strength, to nurture us, to make our hearts strong. Lord, we thank you that you came to give us life and give it abundantly. Help us to share that news with others that feel like they are ready to give up because all the world is giving to them. Lord, as we come to the communion table, we remember your sacrifice that you paid for us, paying the price for our sins, that we may have joy, not just in heaven, but we may have joy here on earth. Lord, we seek that joy now, and we seek you in our hearts. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is Into My Heart. It's printed in the bulletin, and we'll be singing the song twice. You may be seated.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in the prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observances of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain the daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm justice and the unity of all people, and to work as the faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the table. And as the host, he invites each one of us and asks each one of us each time we come to the table with these words, asking us, do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross, died for you, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and am preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Jesus invites all believers to this table. Let's pray together. Lord, as we hear your invitation to come to the table and to eat and drink with you, we realize that we have not earned a seat around your table. It is only through your grace and your mercy that we are able to approach the table. Lord, right now in silence, we confess to you those sins that we are aware of that we have committed, or perhaps have not, things we have not done but should have, and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We truly are sorry for doing things that are displeasing to you. We ask now that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. The last evening that Jesus shared with his disciples, they were celebrating the Passover meal, a meal of celebration, remembering the Israelites' deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And part of that meal was bread on the table. And Jesus took the bread, and the disciples knew what words were supposed to be coming. But he said new words. He began breaking this bread, and he told him, this bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Broken bread, broken body, broken that we may be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As that meal continued, Jesus took the cup. Again, gave thanks to God for the cup. Began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it. And he said that this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with his blood. And he said, as often as they drank it, to remember him. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross that we might have life. Life abundantly, life eternally. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for us. Lord, help us to live each day as worthy recipients of your grace. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne, number 193. We'll be singing verses 1, 4, and 5 only. things don't just happen. Faith makes things happen. Prayer makes things happen. Love makes things happen. Hope makes things happen. Take heart as we follow Christ and allow the Spirit to guide us. Amen.